Well, thank you, choir, and thank you, Rick, for that. That brought back a lot of memories for me because I sang with a men's group for, I don't know, about 8 or 9 years, and that was one of our favorite songs to sing. We sang it a little bit faster than that. Matter of fact, the lady that played the piano for us, we called her Mama, and because three of the guys in the group were brothers, and they called her Mama all the time. So all of us just rung in and called her Mama when we tried to get her attention. Whether we were in our 30s or our 70s, we called her Mama. And she had a hard time a lot of times keeping up with us when we wanted to, when we told her, Mama, play faster. Mama, play faster. But it was such a joy. And as I listened to the choir and Rick sing that, I could see the guys around the table because we met at her dining room table every Thursday night and practiced. And we did that for I don't know how many years, just sitting there around the table, just having fun, singing songs. And then occasionally we would go to nursing homes and to people's homes and have our practice. And it was just such a fun, fun thing. And it's something I greatly miss. I'd love to have those guys and still be singing with them, that's for sure. Today we're going to be looking at the gospel, or not the gospel, we're going to be looking at the book of James, and be looking in the 5th chapter, and I want to center specifically on one verse. I know that Sunday school class that I lead and one other Sunday school class has been studying through the book of James. I did not emphasize the verse that I want to emphasize for a sermon this morning as we talk through the scripture. And I know the other class didn't get this far into chapter 5. So listen to these words and listen to what James has to say. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. The spiritual life is not an easy life. I've been trying to walk with Christ since I first came to Christ in about 1982. It hasn't been an easy life. It's been difficult, and there's been times that I have fallen away from God and not walked the path that God wanted me to walk. It has been difficult, and there have been many ups and downs. We do have to recognize that the spiritual life is a life of struggle. It's difficult. It's hard. Our nature is just to live completely different than God wants us to live at times. And it's so easy if we're not paying attention and we're not keeping ourselves focused, it is so easy to walk away from the spiritual life. You've heard the story of many folks who have been in church for a long time and many years, and now many of them sit at home and don't go to church anymore. Maybe something happened that upset them during the church service or during a program at church, or something up happened with an inner conflict, an interrelational conflict between folks. It's a struggle. It's hard. Let alone if I just stay with myself, the spiritual life is a struggle because sometimes it doesn't work out the way I want it to. Sometimes God's way is not the way that I think things should work out. And you know what I'm going to say to that? Amen. I'm glad that things don't always work out the way I want them to work out. Because I'm wise enough and I understand deep enough that I don't always get it right. And I fail. And I sin. I sin when I put myself first. I sin when I decide it's all about me. I sin and have a difficult time with it. You see, we all battle with sin, temptation, and the inability to walk the right path. We all battle with that. Sin is a constant battle in our world. A constant battle of walking the wrong way and not walking God's ways and putting myself first, maybe putting my family first, maybe putting other things first, not God's kingdom. And anytime I walk in a different direction than what God wants, that's sin. And we need to face up to that. Temptation is when something presents itself to us and we can possibly walk in that way. That's temptation. Jesus faced every temptation that we face. Every temptation that we face, Jesus faced it. Now, some of you may say, well, Jesus didn't have a television and he wasn't tempted to watch this certain program that I watched that I'm not so sure I should be watching. But the same kind of thing was presented to Jesus in a different medium. He faced everything we face. And because of that, he understands. But you see, sin, temptation, and this inability to walk this right path, we have to face that every day. And we have to make a decision moment by moment, are we going to do that? And sometimes we fail. All of us do. John writes in his first epistle, if we say that we don't fail at some point in sin, we're a bunch of liars. He doesn't beat around the bush. He says that we are liars and we're calling God a liar if we don't sin. All of us face sin and all of us have problems with it. I have found that the very first thing that you need to do is identify your struggle and name it with another person. You see, I want to emphasize this one verse, verse 16. Listen to this verse again. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And what I'm presenting to you today is, what do we normally do with this verse? Confess your sins to one another that they might pray for you and you will be healed. What do we normally do with this verse? As Baptists, often we say this, I'm my own priest and I don't need to talk to anybody else. It's between me and God. Is that true? Yes. It is true. But I don't think that means we dismiss this verse. I can go to God and I can go into the presence of God and I can bear my heart to God and I can expose to God my sin, my problem with walking the right spiritual path. I can do that. But here's what I tell you. If you can name it with somebody else, something different happens. Something different happens. I've seen many people through my years of ministry that when they become sick for one reason or another, but they don't know why they're sick and they don't know what's going on and what's happening. All they know is that they're sick and something's not right, and they want the doctors to find it yesterday, what's wrong with them and how to fix it. And I've also seen people, as soon as the doctor can name what it is, be able to relax some. It's not that it's solved. It's not that it's over with. But there's some sense of being able to relax a little bit. Because now I know what it is. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. It's this one thing. And they have treatments for it. And they have medicine for it. And there's a possibility that I can live with what I've got. And there's also a possibility that I can be healed from that. And I've seen people relax. What I want to say to you is that we need to be about confessing our sins to one another. Now, hear me right, though. I'm not going to ask you to come up front, stand at the microphone, and proclaim to everybody what your sin is. That's not what James is talking about. I truly believe that James is talking about sitting down with one other sister or brother in the faith and opening your life to them and explaining to them, here is where I struggle. Here is where I have a difficult time. Will you please pray for me? Now, I know many times you come to me and you ask me to pray for you. And as I pray, I see something happen to you. God works in your life, and there's something that's released, and there's something that's let go. And there's something that, you know what? It even just feels better that the pastor prayed for me. I don't often get to feel that, because you're always asking me to pray. And when somebody prays for me, what a world of difference that makes. And I finally get to feel what you're feeling when that happens. And you know what I'm talking about? When someone prays for you, especially in the struggle that you're having, there's something released then. Now, there's also something else that happens that maybe that's why we don't confess it to someone else. We now can be held accountable. Oh, that's a bad word, isn't it? That means that I can come later when you ask me to pray for you. I can come later and ask you, how are things going? No. I just wanted you to pray for me that one time. Don't come and ask me about it. And you see, that accountability helps. Because I know the next time I see that person, there is going to be an opportunity for them to ask. And I'm going to have to be honest about how my spiritual walk has been going. You see, this confessing to one another is a very helpful thing. Because it keeps me honest with my own spiritual life. I've always had those people that I could go and talk to. I've always had those people that I could share my experience with, especially when I struggle. You got to meet one of those people a few weeks ago when Kevin was here to preach. There's many times I've gone to Kevin and said, Kevin, I need your prayers and I need your help. I'm struggling and it's tough. And there's been times that he has come to me. We have been pastors for each other for many years. You see, all of us need that. Every one of us does. You need to confess your sins to another person and let them pray for you. Now, if you are the first person who someone is confessing to, there's a very important thing. A very important thing. Confidentiality is of utmost importance when someone shares their struggle with you. When someone comes to you and shares their struggle with you, confidentiality is of utmost importance. The words about that situation should never pass your lips, except with that one person who has shared with you. I've had many people through the years come and share many different things with me. And I have always told them confidentiality is of the utmost importance to me. I do not go home and share with my wife or my kids what someone has shared with me. I will only share it if I know I hear you tell me that I have permission to share it. And oftentimes, if I think there's a possibility that it would be helpful, I will ask folks, do I have your permission to share this with such and such? Because they're struggling with the same thing. And I think the two of you would be really good walking together in this journey. But I only do that when I have permission. If you look at me and say, no, you don't have permission, then no one will ever hear about it from me. So I want to caution you. If someone comes to you and confesses their sins and asks you to pray for them, those words should never pass your lips about what they shared with you. In spiritual director school that I went for 2 years at Richmond Hill, the first year we had peer groups every night that we were there. And you were allowed to share anything you wanted to in the peer group. The whole first year that we were there, you could never bring it up again if you heard somebody share something. You couldn't ask them about it. You couldn't grab them off in the corner. You couldn't use it as an example in your upcoming sermon. You never said anything about it. And a matter of fact, when they shared, you were not allowed to ask them any questions about it. As they shared, you just sat there and listened. You know what? I found out there was great value in that. One, because the person gets to share and get it off of them. The burden is gone. They get to lift it off of them, and they know that other people are praying for them. And they also know that nobody's ever going to bring it up again. What an incredible feeling that was. Now, if you think that's difficult, just remember that when I went to spiritual director school, everybody sitting there in the peer group with me was a pastor or a clergy member of some form. And when you tell a bunch of pastors you're not allowed to ask questions, oh, you could see people sitting around the room going, oh, if you just did this, that would fix it. When someone comes to you, let them share. And then pray for them. And leave it at that. You have an opportunity later, you can tell them, I've been praying for you. How's it going? I've had many people through the years come to me and share many things with me that most folks would be shocked to find out about people. And sometimes I've just made up a very silly question to ask them so that I could keep them accountable and that no one would ever know what we're talking about. I remember one person came to me one time and shared something with me, and I said, how about whenever I meet you, if I ask you, have you gotten your hair cut lately? What I really mean is what you're talking about and what you shared with me. And everybody else standing around us will have no idea what we're talking about. But I can help keep you accountable that way. And I can let you know that I'm still praying for you and your struggle. And we never have to make your struggle public. You see, folks, there's ways to do it. We take this idea of confession and we sign it over to particular denominations. And we say, well, that denomination does that. That denomination does confessionals. That denomination. And yet I can't find where James said, hey, only this one denomination, pay attention to this one verse. James has this verse for all of us. When you're the one confessing, accept the person's prayers and their accountability as you seek to overcome the struggle you're having. Accept their prayers. Listen. Let them help you be accountable. Open your life a little and let them ask you about it later. Maybe you make up some way to ask about it. like I gave you an example. But let the other person pray for you. It makes a world of difference. Confession is good for the... I wonder why we have that saying, but we don't follow it. Confession is good for the soul. Are you willing to open your spiritual struggles to another person? And will you take the steps to do it? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning with a very difficult verse in Scripture. And as Baptists, sometimes it's a verse that we can say, this is not for us. Lord, help us not to overlook this verse. Because it says that if we will confess to one another and allow them to pray for us, that we may be healed. And Lord, the truth is we all want to be healed. But sometimes we're not so willing to take the steps needed to be healed. So guide us in this way. Help us to relax into this and understand that confession doesn't mean bearing our soul before everyone we know. And most likely it only means sharing with one other person. Lord, help us to be able to do it, that we might experience what it's like for people to pray for us, for those prayers to heal us, and for those prayers to guide us ever closer to you as we trust in you in a deeper way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.